Well, good morning and a happy new year. I was thinking, it's wonderful to know that although we don't know about the future, we know the Lord Jesus, who knows the end from the beginning. I was thinking of the words of some of the great hymns that we sing about not knowing the future, but knowing the Lord. I was thinking of that verse, God holds the key to all unknown. It's wonderful, isn't it? If he should allow me to carry the key, I think I'd be probably sad. Or if somebody else carried it. But I'm glad God holds the key to all unknown. I suppose on this last Sunday of 2019, it's like standing on a mountaintop. We've, so to speak, climbed up one side, and as we look back, we see all kinds of experiences that we've had. Some have been wonderful, some perhaps not quite so wonderful. But the Lord has been with us. But as we look ahead on the other side of the mountain, we don't know what lies ahead. But God does. So let's renew our confidence in God. And let's determine that we will trust Him to see us through. We thank God for all that's past and trust Him for all that's to come. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about some hints for a happy new year. And we're going to look at the first paragraph of Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is quite famous. It's sometimes called the Hall of Fame of People of Faith, or the Westminster Abbey of the Bible. You know, if you go into Westminster Abbey, there are all kinds of famous people remembered. They're, in some cases, their burial places are there, but usually it's sort of a plaque on the wall or in the floor, commemorating some great deeds that they have performed, perhaps in war, or perhaps in building, or maybe they're poets or writers or songwriters, all kinds of famous people, and they're all remembered. One interesting book that is there in Westminster Abbey in London. As you enter in to the west door, there's a big book, and every day a page is turned over in the book, and that book contains the names of hundreds, literally thousands of people who lost their lives in World War II. Well, we have the privilege of reading through Hebrews chapter 11, seeing the names of famous men and women, and the thing that made them famous was their faith in God. They trusted God, and that's the way to please Him. It says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, trust Him. Put your faith in God. And in a sense, Hebrews 11 continues into the first paragraph of Hebrews 12. We probably should forget about the chapter division and just read on. Because it says, therefore, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you faint and lose heart. Think about him. Wonderful words, really. And they sort of give us the picture of a race. The writer to the Hebrews is using a race as a kind of metaphor of the Christian life. Now, there are two sort of emphases in this picture. First of all, preparation for the race. And secondly, participation in the race. I think the new word is participation. Anyway, first of all, let's think about preparation for the race. You know, the important thing is to make sure your name is on the list of contestants. In the world of Bible times, in Greece and Rome and so on, the games were very important. We, of course, celebrate games every 2 or 3 years, and people look forward to participating, and they make sure their preparation is complete and their names are written down for the race. Just recently, of course, we've been hearing that the contestants from Russia are all disqualified from participating in the games because they've been cheating. They've been enhancing their strength with drugs and so on. So it's important to get your name set down on the list, to be recognized as someone who is suitable to run in the race. You know, I had a Sunday school teacher who was a great runner. And he used to take part in marathons and all sorts of things. And one day, he ran in a half marathon from the town where we lived, some 12 or 13 miles to the south. And he won the race. But when he came to collect his prize, they said, "Bob, we're sorry, but you forgot to put your name down, and you are disqualified." Now, as we think about that, let me ask you a question. Have you got your name written down in the race of life? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Has there been some occasion in your life, perhaps when you were at home or maybe in some difficult situation or in church, when you decided to get your name written down in God's book of life, and you trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? So number one, get your name written down. But number two, prepare for the race in the sense of physically preparing. Now, it says here in this text, let's get rid of anything that holds us back in the race. Let's get rid of sin that can so easily entangle us in the life of race, or in the race of life. So easy, isn't it? There are so many things that are perfectly legitimate, and very good, many of them. But unfortunately, sometimes they can become so important in our lives that we forget the most important things. We can become obsessed with our reputation. We can become obsessed with success, or with making money, or just so many things. They're okay in themselves, but if they get between us and our concentration to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus, they can become hindrances or weights. They hold us back. Obviously, if you're going to run in a race, if it's especially a marathon, a long race, you have to be physically ready. You can't have lots of extra weight. You have to focus on the sort of diet that you take. And actually, if in the ancient games, you had to commit yourself to so many months of training, or you couldn't enter the race. You had to be in physical shape. I mean, after all, if you stuffed yourself with food and put on pounds of weight, it would be pretty difficult to win the race. So, what does it say? Get rid of excessive, unnecessary, intrusive things that will spoil you in the Christian race. Make sure you're focused and prepared. Lay aside every weight and the sin that can so easily ensnare and entangle us. I don't know. Sometimes we are willing to acknowledge the fact that, yeah, there's something in our life that needs to be cleaned up. But, we sort of enjoy it. Is it that important to get rid of it? Well, if we're going to win the race, if we're going to succeed in life, we need to be disciplined. We need to be willing to say no to some things. You know, Jesus talked about discipleship in Luke chapter 9. And there were some men who came along and they said, "Lord, we'd like to be your disciples. But first of all, we'd like to do this. Or we'd like to do that." Jesus said, "You know, if you're going to be my disciple, you must say no to self and take up your cross daily and follow me." See? So even the Lord Jesus talks about this business of getting ready to run the race. If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, as the word suggests, you have to be disciplined. Well, now, how are we to operate, so to speak, participate in the race? What does it say here? We're to lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, I know in the King James it says patience. Patience is sort of a quiet word. You just sit down and take it, so to speak, on the chin. But the word really means perseverance. You don't just take it, but you do something positive. You persevere. So easy to start. It's much harder to carry on, to persevere. Let us run with perseverance. the race that is set before us. God has set individual races, so to speak, contests for each one of us. God has a plan for your life. Are you willing to persevere, to follow God's plan, to obey Him, to trust Him like all those people did in Hebrews chapter 11? It doesn't mean that they had a great time. They all overcame. In fact, some of them went through some terrible experiences. They were persecuted. They were stoned. It says of one person that he was sawn in half. Imagine. They went through all kinds of difficulties. But they trusted in God. They persevered. They didn't give up. Are you the kind of person who, you know, you get excited about some project and then you get into it and, oh, after a few days you give up? We talk about New Year's resolutions. I don't know whether you're going to make a New Year's resolution, but be careful unless you intend to persevere. Otherwise, your New Year's resolution will go down the drain in about 6 days. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Do you know the word race is really the word from which we get our English word agony? It means the contest. It's not specifically running, but getting involved in some real effort, some contest that requires energy, concentration, perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race. So that's an important word to remember, isn't it? Self-discipline. Do you know anything about self-discipline? Or do you just go through life sort of indulging in everything, not thinking or caring much? Of course, nowadays, look, there are lots of places where you can go and do physical exercise in gymnasiums and so on and so forth. And I guess there are a lot of folk who are concerned about physical fitness. But what about spiritual fitness? Are we prepared to be persevering in that area? But what else does it say? We are to fix our gaze on the Lord Jesus. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's so important in life, isn't it, to make sure, if you're a Christian, that the Lord Jesus is the kind of focus of your life. That each day you're trying to do something to please Him. Or when you make some decision, do you consult the Lord? Do you pray about it? Do you ask Him to direct you? As the text suggests, you can get obsessed with other things. You can be so sort of absorbed in some situation that you forget about the Lord. You just go on living through life as if He was there, but He doesn't really matter. But if you're going to have a happy New Year, this text suggests that we look away from other things and focus our attention on Him. That doesn't mean to say that somebody said you're going to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly use, but it means that He is the focus of our life. Whatever you're doing, whether it's school or work or some hobby or situation at home, your marriage, your friendships, so important to remember that the Lord is interested in every part of your life. And we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And not only on Him as a person, but to remember what He has done for us. He's the one who began and completed the work of our salvation. It says that he's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Can you imagine what crucifixion must have been like? It'd be terrible, I would imagine. In fact, you know, it was so awful that if you were a Roman citizen, you were exempt from being crucified. They said, oh, that's for slaves. That's for the very worst of society. It's such a terrible death, such a cruel torture. But the Lord Jesus endured the cross for us. Imagine. The Lord Jesus didn't just die as a martyr to sort of prove something, but he died to put away our sins. And there was such a shame about being hung on a cross. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, it says, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Crucified, if you will. But the Lord Jesus, he had something ahead that he was looking at. He scorned the shame of the cross because of the joy of knowing that he would rise again and he would have his own people with him. You and me. Imagine, that's bringing joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus, to know that you belong to him and that you love him. And it was that that kept him going. It was that that helped him persevere right through those terrible experiences. Last week, I was reading through John's Gospel, chapter 19. And I must say I was deeply moved as I read the story of what they did to the Lord Jesus. How they flogged him. How they made a crown of thorns, great, long, awful thorns, and stuck them into his head. And how they made him carry a cross down through the streets of Jerusalem to the hill called Calvary, where they nailed him hands and feet to the cross. Oh dear. What kept him going? The joy of knowing that one day you would belong to him. You would trust him as your Savior. He would rise again, and he would bring many, as the Bible says, many sons to glory. He would have a great family, so to speak, of his own. It's wonderful, isn't it? And so the writer goes on to say, focus your attention on him. Consider him who endured such contradiction, such cruelty on the part of sinners against himself. They pulled the hair from his cheek. Imagine. They spat in his face. They did everything they could think of to despise him, shame him. And so the writer says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, so that you don't faint in the race. You don't give up part of the contest. You don't lose heart. You know, there are some experiences in life that can really create doubts in your mind as a Christian, aren't there? Have you ever had sort of an experience of saying, oh, I wonder if God really does care for me? I wonder if I really am a Christian? I wonder if I really am going to heaven? Do you ever have that sort of doubt? It can come to any of us. What do we need to do in those days, on those occasions? We need to remember again the Lord Jesus. Consider him. Don't lose heart. Keep going. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus wholly. You see, as Christians, we really need to say, yes, I'm willing to surrender my will to the will of the Lord Jesus. I'm prepared to do his will. May not be easy. And there may be people who misunderstand. Maybe think we're crazy. We're extremists. We've gone overboard, so to speak. But the Lord Jesus is surely worth trusting and owning as our Master and our Lord. Don't lose heart. Renew your faith in him. Read these stories again in Hebrews chapter 11. It's amazing what some of those people were prepared to do. They trusted in God. You may say to me, does that really work today? It sure does. You can trust the Lord Jesus each day to carry you through. And I'm not promising you sort of a bed of roses or to change the picture, a bowl of peaches and cream. Life isn't like that. But whatever the circumstances of life, to know the Lord is with you and to experience his love and his care and his provision, absolutely amazing. You can trust him. Even when you get to a point in life where you aren't really quite sure which way to go. I was remembering a day Audrey and I were in the middle of Africa in the jungle. We had an old car somebody had loaned us for a trip. We were at a place called Chavuma, which is in Zambia. I think Mr. Larry Page will be going there in February. Anyway, we'd been there for a few days having meetings and so on. And we were moving away from there to another mission station. I think it was called Laloma. And we didn't know the way, and there are no maps that are going to tell you the way. But one of the missionaries, he said, oh, I know the way. Actually, he was the son of a missionary. He said, I used to hunt elephants in that area. I know the way. You just follow me. He had his own car. We took off. And he just went down the jungle pathway and took off and disappeared. He was going to show us the way. Anyway, he'd gone. And we came to this fork in the road. Now, which way are we going to go? No signposts. No indication as to which way to Laloma. But anyway, we sort of looked how deep were the ruts in the mud. And maybe there are more cars going down this way than that way. So we chose the pathway. Fortunately, it was the right one. And we ended up at a river, and on this river there was a kind of big raft. It was just like a big, there were logs all joined together. I mean, and it had two sort of chains, one on each side, and they pulled on the chains and the thing went across this river. It was full of crocodiles. Anyway, we made it. Sometimes that's what life is like. You come to a crossroads and you figure, what am I going to do? Which is the way to go? Well, in that moment, you ask the Lord for his guidance. You know, that's so important, especially when you're young and, you're going to choose your career, or maybe you're going to choose whom you marry, someone for the rest of your life is going to become your partner. It's sure worth being careful about it and praying and asking the Lord to guide you. Even if it's for a job or a business, we need to ask the Lord, which way shall I go? Can I really trust him? You sure can. He'll see you through. You may have all kinds of experiences, but God will see you through. Concentrate your gaze on him, says the text. Don't lose heart. And then the writer goes on to say this in verse 4. He says, you have not yet reached the place where you've had to shed your blood for the Lord. What did he mean? You know, there were people in those early days who were being persecuted, and sometimes they suffered as martyrs. They died for the sake of the Lord Jesus. They had such firm confidence and trust in him, they were even willing to give their lives. Amazing. We've got it pretty soft here in Canada, haven't we? Even as Christians. I was hearing just recently on the news about believers who live on the other side of the Pacific Ocean, Indonesia. And they were standing watching the authorities burn down their church. Boy, that must be tough. And they were meeting in the open air, remembering the Lord Jesus. Do you know there are more martyrs for the Lord Jesus today than any time in history? We don't know about it in Canada. It's so easy to be a Christian here. There's not much sort of persecution. Well, people may sort of laugh at you, ridicule the fact that you trust in the Lord and believe the Bible and so on, but can you imagine what it would be like to lose your home, lose your job, lose your church, maybe even lose your life for Jesus' sake? That's what happened in the early church, and in fact, in some countries, it's happening today. So sad. But those people have such faith in the Lord that they're not losing heart. You know, there was a gentleman called Tertullian who lived in the 4th century. And he put it this way, as he saw so many Christians being persecuted and done to death, and yet the church was growing. He said, the blood of Christians is seed. The more they persecuted them, the more the church grew. It sort of proves the fiber of their Christian faith. They were real Christians, not just pretend ones. So important, isn't it, to make sure that we are real believers in the Lord Jesus. So, you know, we're not just pretend Christians, but the real thing. We're in the race. We're trusting him. We're not going to lose heart. We're going to put our faith in the Lord Jesus and enter the contest with a view to winning it for his glory. So as we enter a new year, are we prepared to trust the Lord Jesus to bring us through? We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what sort of circumstances we will face. But we do know that he will see us through. We can trust him. I remember, I think it was 1941, may have told you this before. And it was a pretty tough time in the land of England where I lived. People were being killed in hundreds, bombed and so on. And we had a king in those days, actually our queen's father, King George the VI. He had his own problems. Found it very difficult to speak. I perhaps some of you have seen a movie about that. But every Christmas day he used to speak to the nation. I remember on this particular Christmas day, things looked pretty blank and dark, and it looked as though the next item on the program, as far as the Nazis were concerned, was England. They had thousands of troops, tanks and armaments and landing craft all prepared on the French coast, only 20 miles away. And the king did two things to encourage us. First of all, he said we're going to have a national day of prayer. Pretty good idea. A national day of prayer. And he said, let's ask God to take care of us. And then he quoted from a story that he had read. This was on Christmas Day. He said, I know things are bleak. I know things are difficult. The future is dark. But we believe in God. He said, I sent to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may go out into the unknown. And he said to me, put your hand into the hand of God. That will be better than a light and safer than a known way. How true. We don't know, but we can put our hand into the hand of God. We can trust him. God holds the key of all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. So, in the picture of this contest, this race, let's make sure we put our name down. Let's prepare for the contest. Let's focus our attention on the Lord Jesus. And let's determine that by his grace, we will go forward and will enjoy God's blessing. I hope you really will have a blessed new year. And that God will work through your life, not only in blessing for you, but in blessing for other people too. Because after all, we are channels of blessing. God wants to use you. No matter if you're young or old, God can use you. Are you prepared for him to do that? Are you prepared to put your hand in his and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, let's pray. Lord, we just come to you this morning with grateful hearts for all your amazing love. We thank you for the benefits of life that you have bestowed on all of us. We thank you that we have the privilege of living in Canada, where we have freedom, where we have plenty. We think about our Christian brothers and sisters who live in some countries of the world where it's very, very difficult to be a believer, to be a Christian. We pray for them. And Lord, help us not to be so kind of comfortable and at ease that we forget that we belong to you. You want to use us in blessing to others. Help us, Lord, to get ready for the race and to run with perseverance, discipline, so that we may not lose heart. Oh yes, there will be all kinds of things, and maybe people even, who will try to turn us aside, distract us. But Lord, help us to keep our minds in focus on you and your word, and enjoying the fellowship of your people. So we praise your name for all that you've done for us all through this year. And we trust you for whatever days we have ahead. Dear Lord, thank you that you went all the way to the cross for each one of us. And we pray that we may make you happy as we seek to live for your honor and glory. So we give thanks and praise you and just put each other into your safe care and keeping. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You know, I got a email from a missionary the other day, and he said, I want you to pray, and he named a young man. He said he is a Muslim and he has trusted in the Lord Jesus, and he wants us to baptize him. And he said that may cost him his life, so pray for him. Boy, that's quite a price, isn't it? Do we love the Lord that much? Thank you for listening.